I'm Esperance Kawaji, Manager of General Care at the Royal Dental Hospital of Melbourne, and today I have with me Gary Pearson, Director of Evident Dental Practice-Based Research Network and the Chief Executive Officer of the Victorian branch of the Australian Dental Association. And the topic today is practitioner engagement in dental research. Thanks for joining us today, Gary.
It's a pleasure, Esperance.
Traditionally, what role have dental practitioners played in dental research?
Well, a good deal. Certainly the Cooperative Research Centre has involved dentists in clinical trials, historically universities and hospitals and DHSV would have been engaging cooperative private practitioners and public practitioners in research activities, but generally a long time after a good deal of lab work's been done. So they're testing an idea that's well advanced before it's fully put into implementation.
So what has this meant in terms of research and clinical outcomes?
Well, on our analysis, only about 2% of dental research that's been reviewed and established as sort of recognised and valuable related to primary dental care. So a great deal of research in dentistry hasn't actually dealt with primary care. Of the studies that have been undertaken in primary care settings, only about 43 out of 134 reviewed would be suitable for inclusion in a systematic review. Apparently, according to our friends at the university, it takes 17 years to achieve about a 14% transfer from the original research into patient benefit. Now, that's just such a long lead time. Our feeling was that surely we can actually bring that closer. You know, if you found something that's valuable, if you've got practitioners engaged in that, and they own the ideas that come out of the research, then it's not going to take 17 years to bring the benefit of that to their patients.
Well, the Australian Dental Association is part of this new research initiative to address these issues. Can you tell us a bit about the initiative and your role as the director?
Really, I think this is a very exciting initiative. It's another partnership that we have with Melbourne, but in this case it's through the Cooperative Research Centre, and we do depend on the academics through the Cooperative Research Centre to provide leadership in each of the projects that we'll be looking at. That way we're sure that we get a partnership between practitioners who are very interested and wanting to be engaged with suitable academic supervision, and between them we can be sure we've got credible research, we've got the enthusiasm of the practitioners, and we get practical science out of it. Instead of it being, if you like, somewhat esoteric or theoretical, it's very much focused on the needs of the practitioners and their patients, and the questions that we're focusing on are of immediate interest and concern to them.
Are you able to give us some idea of the current research projects that Evident is working on, and how were they actually chosen as research topics?
Well, the ideas can come from practitioners, and indeed that's what we're wanting to encourage. Mm-hmm. At the moment we've got two clinical ones and an overall evaluation project. Mm-hmm. So there are precedents for setting up dental practice-based research networks in other parts of the world. We're not the first to have done this, but none of the others actually set out to do an evaluation from the beginning. Having been set up, they often went back some 5 years later and had a look retrospectively, and they didn't actually set out an appropriate set of criteria. So one of our studies will be an evaluation of whether this is an effective way of getting this primary care research to be improved and that science transfer that we were talking about. The other two that we've got going at the moment, the first of them actually owes a debt to a project that I believe has been done in the public sector on implant complications, and Roy Judge is the chief investigator for that one. It's a four-part study. The first part involves a 5-year retrospective assay of implant complications in the participating practices, and I understand somewhere north of 3,000 cases are being looked at in that study, which is a very substantial one. Part B looks at the development of some management guidelines based on what we've found from looking back in the retrospective assay. Part C will do then a 5-year prospective study saying, well, how are these guidelines impacting on implants and are we reducing complications? And Part D is the publication of findings showing what change in treatment planning and maintenance regimes is happening. The third one is on molar incisor hypomineralisation and molar hypomineralisation. As Prince, you know I'm not a dentist. Mm-hmm. I sometimes claim that I speak dental, but I think this is a pretty lavish claim. So if I stumble on clinical terminology, I'm sure your listeners will forgive me. But the purpose of this one is to investigate distribution and severity of MIH and MH, that's a lot easier to say, in several specialist paediatric dental practices. Mm-hmm. Now, so it's specialist only at this stage. These specialists have found that there seems to be a growing incidence of these problems, and we're looking at measures which can assist in early detection, diagnosis and treatment of those conditions, and proposing and piloting of new clinical management protocols which hopefully can then be used by the entire dental community, and again, on a much shorter lead time than that, that 17 years that we were talking about before.
So how will practitioners learn about the results of the research?
Well, one of the good things about having practitioners involved is word of mouth is actually going to work here, because people get together and talk with each other about clinical issues and compare notes. Instead of saying, have you read that journal article, it's, did you see what we got out of this study that we were involved in? And so that word of mouth network and informal communication we expect is going to be a quite powerful, although informal, measure. Of course, we will have our website and there'll be publication of material in appropriate journals. These are meant to be scientific studies. They're not amateurish studies. One thing we know, the Australian Dental Research Foundation has told us that they've wanted to promote practice-based research for a long time, and they've often had proposals, but they've never quite stood scrutiny as appropriate research studies. They haven't been particularly well framed. The questions weren't well considered. From an academic point of view, they wouldn't have made it into a journal, a refereed journal. So the benefit that this offers is the partnership with the CRC ensures that we get good research, good questions, we frame it right from the outset, and then we're more likely to get good publishable materials, which will, of course, need to happen if we're to actually get any guidelines or any recommendations adopted and recognised in systematic reviews. You know, if we think that any of these studies are going to end up in a Cochrane review on the basis of a group of people getting together and just having a chat over a glass of red, then we're kidding ourselves. We have to be pretty serious about putting academic rigour into this. And so the partnership with the academics is a key element of a practice-based research network.
So what benefits do you expect the Evident Initiative to bring to dental practitioners and their patients?
Well, the first and most obvious, I think, is that we're expecting more relevant and actionable outcomes to be delivered out of the findings. Because the practitioners themselves are involved, their enthusiasm for getting something useful out of the study is going to drive the whole exercise of the data capture and analysis. So I've already mentioned the opportunity to bring research to bear more quickly and to make sure that it actually turns into new practice as quickly as possible. The side benefits, though, are that we will be developing a wider set of research skills amongst practitioners. I believe this will encourage some, not all, to take on postgraduate education and to therefore improve their overall standing in the profession as postgrads and possibly as specialists. I guess I hope that ultimately that might lead also to an enhancement of the number of academics that are available, that an interest in research amongst practitioners leads to people saying, look, I can actually mix an academic career with my practicing career, just as I know many public dentists mix a private career with a public career. So this mix of academic and research interests with practice, I hope, might be another benefit. There's numerous other ones, but that's probably the key list for today.
Well, that sounds all very exciting. So you've obviously enthused myself and I'm sure our listeners. So how would dental clinicians get involved in this initiative?
Well, the first thing, I guess, is to encourage them to have a look at our website. So if they look at Evident, and it's just the word Evident, but obviously we are trying to have a little play on evidence-based research and evidence-based practice in there. So it's evident.net.au, and on that website they'll see project proposal forms, application forms, advice on how to undertake the ethics training and the research training, because we don't just throw people in without giving them assistance, and of course we need to actually take them through a whole process before they can fully engage. The ways they can be involved is to suggest research ideas, to participate in project teams along with academics, They can assist with training. They can obviously offer their practices up for data capture, as so many have done already in the two examples that I've given. And, of course, they can be involved in publishing and disseminating the results afterwards, which may mean once they've actually signed up, they become presenters or workshop leaders or otherwise help in communicating the key messages. So they're the main mechanisms I think people would be looking to use.
Thank you very much for your time today, Gary Pearson.
Thanks, Esperanza.